Psalms chapter 108. As I got ready to study this message, I come across a verse that I want to preach out of this morning. The Lord just kind of focused on one verse. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It ain't but 13 verses and good to read. But as I studied this, I just learned a few things, I guess you might say. Not that I don't learn all the time. I mean, it was just something that jumped off the page at me. And I like it when things jump off the page of the Word of God. Because you get things out of it that you know you didn't have anything to do with. Amen. And I like that. Psalms 108, while we stand at our feet this morning. Psalms chapter 108, we'll stand in the reverence of the reading of God's Word. Begin to read in verse 1. And the psalmist said, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and answer me. God hath spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpod. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who hast cast us off? And wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our host? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Boy, I tell you, I wish we could get everybody to understand that today. Man ain't going to be able to help us, but God sure can. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again for this good day, the singing. Lord, thank you for the home where we'll never grow old. And, Lord, where we're going to be with you one day after a while. Lord, as we preach, we certainly need your strength and need unction from the Holy One this morning. And Lord, I believe this would be the message for the hour. And I pray it be a help to your people and those that are sitting here today. Maybe somebody needs to get saved. Might we be able and at the point of Calvary and tell what you've done. But Lord, for those that just need direction, I pray it be found in your word. Maybe folk need to come and draw near and draw nigh to you. I pray they do that this morning. Lord, we're very thankful for everybody that's here today. Help those that are sick and those that are traveling. But Lord, it's preaching time and I need your help now and I desire it. And I pray you'd come by for just a little while. And Lord, just anoint us afresh. We love you and we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, we ask and do pray. Amen and amen. In this chapter right here, we see that David is, first of all, he starts out praising the Lord. Notice he said in verse 1, he had, O God, my heart is fixed. A fixed heart is one that is trusting in the Lord. It's fixed on the Lord. And, you know, I preach a message on that. You know, a lot of times something that is fixed, first of all, has to be broken. And so we know when something that is fixed, it's no longer broken anymore. But he said, my heart is fixed. So we know that it's trusting in the Lord. And he talks about giving praise to the Lord. And he says, I'll give praise even with my glory. In other words, with everything that is in him, he's going to praise the Lord. He says, I'm going to give my glory in praise. And he says, awake, psaltery and harp. So he says, play on the instruments. And he said, I'll get up early and praise the Lord. You know, when we get up in the morning, we ought to praise the Lord. You say, I don't feel like praising him. You ought to do it anyway. A lot of times, if you wait till you just want to praise him, you probably, and I won't either, probably praise him as much as we need to praise him. Amen. You say, well, I want to feel like praising him. I want to feel lighthearted, and I just want to feel good. I'm going to tell you, whether we feel good or whether we feel lighthearted, he's worthy and due of our praise today. Amen. And we should do that. But he talks about praising the Lord, and he talks about needing to be delivered. And boy, how many times have we ever got into a place to where we needed to be delivered out of a situation or out of a problem, whether we made the problem or whether it just showed up, we needed to be delivered. And he said, the Lord can do that. But then he talks about God's power and his divine ownership. And then he says it's God that's going to deliver us and that he would allow us and that to do things valiantly. But I want to look and preach this morning out of verse 4 where David said, for thy mercy is great above the heavens and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. As I read that this past week and I began to focus on that verse, I couldn't get away from it. I began to think about, he said, mercy and truth. You know, a lot of times when we read the Bible or when we think about mercy, we think about mercy and grace. We think about how that mercy and grace are cousins to one another. Or maybe the love of God comes out of His mercy and grace, and they're all kin to each other. And so we think about those things. But here in this verse, David talks about how that God's mercy does what? He said, how His mercy is great above the heavens, and thy what? Thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. And so as I begin to read this and study this message, I begin to understand some things about how that His mercy and His truth runs together. Do you know that in at least 18 verses in your Bible, you'll find that mercy and truth is categorized together. One of the very first times that you find, or the very first time, is in Genesis chapter 24 when Abraham sends his servant out and that back to the land where he was from to get a bride and that for Isaac. And as he sends his servant back and God works some things out, here's what his servant said. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And so we find the very first mention talks about here is God worked in a great way and worked a great, let me say this, a great direction in Abraham's servant's life. He talks about God's mercy and His truth. Can I tell you the two things you need more than anything in your life is God's mercy and God's truth today. Listen, those are the two things that we need. You say, you don't want justice today. If you get justice, you'll die and burn in hell. But thanks be to God, He saved us from our sin because of His mercy. And so you'll find in, I believe it is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. I'll read over that real quick as we find that this is attributes of God. These are attributes that we're to have. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3, well, we'll start in verse 1. Here Solomon is writing. He said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You want length of days? Do you want long life and peace in that length of days and long life? Follow the Word of God. Get in the Word of God, know the Word of God, live by the Word of God. And you'll find that. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. There them words are together again. Mercy and truth. He said, let them not forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Mercy and truth should not only be, and we know is an attribute of God, but it should be an attribute of us today. Mercy and truth. We should be a people that have experienced God's mercy and truth, but is also we should be a people that exhibit God's mercy and God's truth in our life today. And so when we look at this, that is simply what I want to look at is God's mercy and truth. By way of introduction, let me say quickly, I'd say some of you thought, well, that was the introduction. Stay with me now. We find, y'all all right today? Y'all doing okay? It's all right to smile. I know some of you had a battle getting here this morning. It's always run, run, run. I woke up not feeling good this morning. But listen, the longer the day goes, better I feel. Amen. I listen. First of all, we find by way of introduction that God's praise and His mercy. Look here at His mercy and His truth. He's to be praised for it. If you notice David, as he says, as I get up in the morning, he said, I'm going to praise the Lord. And he said, I'll praise thee among the people. I'll praise thee among the nations. Why? Because of His mercy and His truth. I think God is worthy to be praised for His mercy and His truth today. Ain't you glad you have experienced God's mercy? Ain't you glad you know what God's mercy? If you're saved, you know what God's mercy is all about. Where'd God find you? I'm getting way ahead of myself, but it'll be all right. Where'd God find you at when He saved you? Some of you He found sitting in a church. Some of you He found maybe sitting at home. But listen, every one of us was dying and going to hell. And some of you He just found in worse sin than the rest of us. Amen. And He was willing and wanted to save you out of your sin. Ain't that wonderful this morning? I tell you, I'm glad and thankful for God's mercy. But He ought to be praised for it this morning. That's why we ought to raise our hand while we're singing. When I see the blood, that old song that we were singing there this morning, hey, that ought to have excited us because it wasn't nothing that we done to make God want to save us. It was because of mercy that He wanted to have on our life because of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God ain't forgave you because of you. God's forgave you because of Christ this morning. Amen. And in Christ we live and move and have our being this morning. Thank God for that this morning. But we ought to praise Him. Ought to praise Him for His truth. Listen, He didn't leave us down here without something to live with and to live by. Now, a lot of people, they don't believe the Word of God. And boy, what a sad state to be in. If you don't believe in the final authority, that's why folk hate the Word of God. You know, people, they don't understand why we believe the King James Bible and stand on the King James Bible. And I think I told you this before. The problem, even though it is in the King James Bible with them, but if I said tomorrow, I believe a new King James Bible. I believe it to be authoritative and the only, there's the key, Word of God. That's where people take exception a lot of times, is they have to have a final authority. You know the problem with a lot of us, and I'll use me too, I won't even say the problem, but I struggle because this. I know this book is right. No matter what I think, I know this book's right. It's always right. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, listen, this book will be standing when the world's burning down around it. God's Word will still be true and still be standing. Amen. We understand that. I mean, when the world's on fire, that's what's going to happen. But listen, He's gave us truth to live by and guide our lives. Like Brother Jeff was looking at in Sunday school this morning. He talks about the good steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, the Bible says. Listen, He gave us this book to live by. You ought to be thankful and praising Him this morning. You got a book. You got a book that tells you how to live. You got a book that tells you how to raise your family. I mean, you got a book that tells you how to make money. You don't know how to make money? Read your Bible. It'll tell you how to do it. Then you just got to go do it. How do you make money? Well, you go to work, don't you? Amen. You give the first fruits and that to the Lord, and He'll bless that other part. Man, I've learned that to be so true over my life. And I give Him what's to do Him. And you know what? He's blessed the rest of it. And I've got all that I need this morning. Amen. But notice the place of mercy and truth. I'm getting hung up in my introduction. Notice the place of mercy and truth. It's great above the heavens and reacheth under the clouds. Notice how big it is. Notice the place of it. God's got plenty of mercy and God's got plenty of truth today. Notice the place of it. It's big. It's plenteous, but notice it's headed upward and not downward. It's going to the heavens. It's headed that way. I mean, He could have said that it encompassed the whole earth. He could have said that it went down into the ocean or into the sea and back up again. But no, He said that it went up to the heavens. God's mercy and His truth is always upward. It's never downward. So we find two things this morning, and I'm going to preach on them two things about God's mercy and truth. First of all, God delights in mercy and truth. He loves both of them. Take your Bible this morning and go to the book of Micah. Go to the book of Micah. Now, the Micah chapter 7. Now, the last book in the Old Testament is Malachi. Don't go to Malachi, go to Micah. And in Micah chapter 7, we're going to go over to the end of chapter 7. That's the last chapter in the book. And we're going to look at the last verses in this book. And the prophet, he writes in verse 18 and says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy." So you find in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18,
That God delights in mercy. He loves to have mercy. You know, God, you know, a lot of people think God is a God that is sitting up there waiting on people to mess up and waiting just to cast people into hell. Now, that's going to happen. You understand that, don't you? There is a great white throne judgment coming one day over there in Revelation chapter 20. And he said, John, what John say? He said, behold, I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. Talking about death and hell, gave up the dead. I listened and everything fled from that place. Think about that for just a second. All death and hell, when they're give up under the great white throne judgment and heaven and earth flee away and there's found no place for them, what's everybody standing on out there? Nothing. You realize if you die lost in your sin and you get up there before God, you have nothing to stand on. But you know what I'm going to stand? You know what I'm standing on right now? And what I'm going to stand on when I get to the judgment seat of Christ? I'll stand on God's truth and God's word. What did he say? He delights in mercy. Now keep reading. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. There's another good attribute of God. Compassion. He will subdue our iniquities. And that will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That will perform the, what's your Bible say right there? The truth to Jacob. And the what? And the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. So here again, we find even in the very last verse of the book of Micah, we find that mercy and truth is tied together. Can I tell you, when you got saved, it was because of God's truth you had to see. I mean, I had to come to a place where I realized that I was lost. I had to be convinced of God's truth. I had to be convinced that God was true and every man a liar, and he was right about everything, and I was wrong about everything, and I needed to get saved. I had to get convinced of that one day. What do you think Jesus said in John 14:6? That I am the way, the what, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now remember, we're talking about mercy and truth and how God delights in it. God delights in the very thing. You say, well, you keep interchanging God's word and his truth together. They're inseparable. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. You cannot separate God's word and his truth one from another. You know, when I talked about him delighting in his word and in his truth, he said in Psalms 138, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. His word and truth are synonymous with each other. And it's because of God's truth and because of his word that you got saved. Whether it was a preacher that preached it, a Sunday school teacher that taught it, somebody handed you a tract, a dear friend, maybe it was a part of your family. I listened somewhere along the way, somebody gave you the Word of God. And it might have been just as simple as, let me tell you what Jesus done for you. I was watching an old football game here a while back, just happened to be on. I don't remember who it was. I didn't watch a lot of it, but do you remember when the football games would be on and they'd go down there to kick that extra point or they'd kick a field goal, they had there'd always be a feller standing down there that had a piece of poster board that had John 3:16 on it. Y'all remember that? I'd forgot all about that. You know, you don't see that no more in football games, do you? I remember when I was growing up, my kid, there was always a feller. There was somebody on each end of the stadium that would have a big poster board that said John 3:16. You know what John 3:16 tells us? It tells us the truth about God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The truth of God's word is if you're lost, you need to get saved. And you can do that by God's mercy today. You can come to him and trust him. Listen, he wants to have mercy upon you. He delights in mercy. Ain't that a wonderful thing? Ain't you glad today it's God's truth that you have to realize, not your truth, not what you want to believe, but what he said. I hope you believe God's word today because it'll help you. He delights in mercy and truth. He delights
in His truth, and He delights in having mercy. You know, the Bible does tell us that God is angry with the wicked every day. But you know what? He would have mercy on the wicked if they'll come to Him. God would rather have mercy. Now get this for just a second, church. I was thinking about this while I was studying. God would rather have mercy on sinners that have defiled the Son's name and have done wickedness against Him. If they would come to Him, He'd forgive them. Those that have committed egregious sins, those that have committed vile sins, those that have took lives, those that have just done the most wicked thing that you could ever think of, God will still forgive if they'll come to God's truth. You know, to gain God's mercy, you've got to come to God's truth. But He delights in it. He delights in both of them. He would rather forgive as to have to condemn and have judgment. I'm not saying He won't condemn and won't have judgment. I'm just saying that He rather would. Listen, do you understand this right here? That it's because of His mercy that we'll not experience His judgment. But it'll be in His truth. If you've not ever experienced His mercy, it'll be in His truth that you experience judgment. John chapter 12, Jesus said this, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Jesus said, the very truth of my word that you've rejected is what's going to judge you at the end time. How many of you mamas and dads have had to correct your children and whip your children? And you say, "I told you to do this, and you didn't do it." So you whip them for it. They didn't do it. Or you said, "I told you not to do it," and you done it. Why? It was your word, wasn't it? Judgment was brought on because they did not do your word. Right? Same thing. But you see, the problem here is there comes a day when there is no mercy. Even though God delights in it, and God loves mercy. If you go back to the book of... go with me, the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. I'm talking about God delighting in mercy. Go back, I believe it's 2 Chronicles, chapter 36 is where we need to be. If you've been here with us on Wednesday night, we've been teaching out of the book of Jeremiah, and we've looked at this portion of Scripture several times in conjunction with the book of Jeremiah. Now, God is trying to get the nation of Israel to get right. The nation of Judah. He's begging them to get right. Pleading with them to get right. Can I tell you that God is pleading with our nation to get right today? Would you agree with that? Boy, God wants our nation to get right. God wants folk in the church to get right. God wants us to draw close and draw nigh to Him. Listen, you can't expect the world to get right if folks sitting in church won't get right. I mean, if there's something wrong between you and God, and you know there's something wrong, I have the truth of God's Word. Listen, I mean, when God shows it to you, you've got two options. Either fix it or get ready to suffer in that the judgment of God. It's that simple. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 14. "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen." Now, let me park right there. Now, notice who he said, "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people." I mean, not only were the people doing wrong, he said the priests were. You know what God said about the nation of Judah and Israel one time? He said, "They're doing more wicked than all those nations that I drove out before them when I brought them into the land of Canaan." All them Amorites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites. All them that got drove out ahead of time, and they drove out in the book of Joshua when they went over into the land of Canaan and they whooped them and drove them out, or tried to drive them out, most of them. You know what? God said, "My people's doing more wicked than those people were." He said, "The people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord which he hallowed in Jerusalem." How did he pollute it? Or how did they pollute it? Man, they were in there and they had idol worship going on, didn't they? If you go back and you read, man, they set up idol worship in the church house. Verse 15. "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending them because he had had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place." You know, you can't have compassion without having mercy. So God is showing His mercy right here. He sent preachers. He sent prophets to them and said, preach to them and tell them the truth. But it said in verse 16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words. They despised what? His words. What is His words? His truth. Despised His truth and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people. Now notice what your Bible says. Till there was what? No remedy. That means God's mercy was done. At what point is our nation, God says, there's just going to be no remedy. People don't want to get right. They don't want to do right. They don't want to follow me. I'm not talking about picking the right man out of Washington, D.C. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about choosing the Lord. Now, choosing the Lord will help you make up your mind who you need to vote for when it's voting time. But I'm telling you, it's not picking the right man up there. It's going to fix things. It's choosing the Lord and serving Him. That's what's going to fix things today. Amen? Ain't that right? Amen? Oh, you start talking about politics, people get tore up. You know the two things I like to talk about, politics and religion. The two things you ain't never supposed to talk about, that's what I want to talk about, politics and religion. Me and my wife, we get so tired of talking about politics. We do, don't we, honey? Well, I mean, we just get tired. We went to lunch the other day. I went and met her, and we went and ate lunch. And what captivated our conversation until our food got there was politics. And finally, she just said, I'm tired of talking about it. Okay, we'll talk about something else. And our food got there, and we didn't talk about nothing. We sat there and ate. Amen. It seems to have captivated our society, hadn't it? It's always good versus evil. You need to understand that. It's always the Lord versus the devil. And if you'll choose the Lord, I tell you what, He can fix what's going on in our nation today. But most people don't believe that. So they're coming to a place where there was no mercy. And I'm afraid that's where we're headed in our nation. And I hope that ain't where you're headed in your life. I believe as long as you're breathing, living and breathing, you can turn to the Lord. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. People talk about sending away the day of grace. Friend, I believe that if a man or woman, boy or girl comes to God and wants to get saved and ask Him knowing that they're lost and know that He'll save them, I believe He'll save them today. You may not believe that, but I do. I believe if folk will come to Him and ask to get saved, I believe He'll do that today. But you've got to know that you're a sinner needing a Savior. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, the Bible said. But then, God not only delights in mercy and truth. You know that word delight means something of high degree of pleasure or satisfaction of the mind or joy. God rejoices to have mercy. Can I stop right here and ask you this morning, how many of us rejoice to have mercy? Or would we just rather tell somebody what we think and inflict judgment on them? Now, I'm the one that always wants to say sometimes I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And sometimes folk do need to hear some things. But I think we'd be far better served if we had mercy upon people. And I'm learning that more and more the older that I get. You say, well, they don't deserve it. I mean, you didn't either. We didn't deserve it either. And you say, well, they just don't deserve it. Maybe they don't deserve it. But I'd far rather much have mercy. But then, if we go back to the text verse, he says, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth under the clouds. He says, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. We find that God delights in mercy and truth, but then God delivers in mercy and truth. He wants to have it, and He does have it. But then it is God in His mercy and in His truth that delivers us. One, it's in His mercy and truth that He delivered you out of your sin and made you a fit subject for heaven. Amen. I mean, you had to come to the truth of God's Word and accept His mercy and come and get saved by His grace
divine.
But then how many of us, and I'm afraid a lot of times as your preacher, I get us in a woe is me kind of state of attitude if I ain't careful. We'll preach about how Job says in Job 14:1, man is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And that's a true statement. And we do have trouble and we do have problems. And listen, we do have turmoil that comes in our life. But I'm going to tell you, I got to think about this while I was studying. Man, my life's pretty good. I mean, sit down and think about it for just a second. Even out of all the trouble that we go through and all the struggles that we go through in serving Christ and in just living this life, our life is still pretty good. Why? Because of God's mercy and because of God's truth. The psalmist trusted and depended upon God's mercy and truth. Look back in Psalms chapter 4. Go back with me, Psalms chapter 4. I'm going to be over here in the book of Psalms, so stay with me, okay? Psalms chapter 4, flip back there. Look in verse 1. Psalms chapter 4 and verse 1. Am I making sense with y'all today? Okay, all right, just making sure. Amen. Psalms chapter 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Now let me park right here. Notice what he said. He said, Lord, he said, I want you to hear me. But he said, and then he remembers a time. He said, you've enlarged me when I was in distress. You've answered me before and done great things that I could not do. You know why I keep praying? You know why I keep praying? Because God's answered my prayers before. If I prayed into heaven and it was solid brass all my life and nothing never happened and God didn't answer my prayers and there wasn't an inkling that He wasn't up there, I'd think about some things sometimes. But He's answered my prayers. He's come by my way. And so the psalmist, he was in a place. He said, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Oh, ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. God does make a distinction between the godly and the ungodly. He said, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your own bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. So what does he cry for? He cries out for mercy. And he says, I'm going to trust God. Now we're talking about depending. God delivers in his mercy and truth. Let me put it to you like this. How many of us have made our own mess? We've messed up. Man, we've fouled it up bad. Now not all the time. The messes that we get into, is it our fault? I want you to understand that. Every time I preach like that, I feel like that I'm just telling us it's our fault that we've done this. It's our fault that we've done that. Not all the time is it our fault. No, sometimes it's just we're living life and we're serving Christ and there are fiery trials out there that are there to try us. But you know, sometimes it is our mess that we have created. I have a preacher friend of mine. He talks about buying a car one time and he said, I wasn't even right with the Lord. And he said, and the Lord still tried to get me not to buy that car. Now think about that for just a minute. Ain't that mercy? Ain't that mercy? Now he'll tell you that. And I believe him. He said, man, and he says, and I bought that car. And he'll tell you that he shouldn't have bought it either. He said, that car had more problems. You know, the Lord knows. So, preacher, you really think God gets involved? I think God gets involved in that. Psalms chapter 25, look in verse 16. I'll give you time to get there. Psalms 25, verse 16. He says, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look thou upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many that have hated with me with a cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my what? Trust in thee. Oh, he's asking for God's mercy because of all the things that are against him. But he says, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You know what we tell the Lord today? Lord, I want you to have mercy upon me, and I'm just going to trust your word and what you've told us. That you'd never leave us nor forsake us. You've showed us in the past that you're going to keep us and take care of us. He said, look, Lord, I just need your mercy. You think after you get saved, you don't need God's mercy? We need God's mercy. We need him to come by. We need him to show up. We need him to shine his face upon us and say, yes, my word's right, my word's true. Just continue to meditate, believe it, trust it, read it, do it, and I'll see you through. Psalms 31, verse 9, he said, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust... Oh, I'm reading verse 30, chapter 30. They don't read right, do they, Brother Jeff, when you're in the wrong chapter? Verse 31, chapter 31, man. Chapter 31, verse 9, there we go. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble, mine eyes consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my tears with the sighing. With sighing my strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man. Out of mine I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee. O Lord, I said, thou art my God. In his mercy and God's mercy that he desired, he said, Lord, I need your mercy to come, but I'm still going to trust you and your truth. I thought about David. In 2 Samuel, you don't have to go there, I'll just read it to you. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, after his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. Now David is called a man after God's own heart, and God chose him to be king over the nation of Israel. And God put him there. But yet David, if you go back to chapter 11, the Bible said, as he tarried still at Jerusalem, it's a time when kings go forth to battle. David sent Joab, and it came to pass in the evening time that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And a woman was very beautiful to look upon. David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Right there should have been the end of the conversation. When he found out, how did David get his wife Abigail? Remember the story about how David got Abigail? She was married to who? Nabal. And remember, Nabal wouldn't go out and take care of David and his men, and David got ready to go in to kill Nabal. You remember that? And Abigail come running out there and brought him food to eat and said, don't, just have mercy upon us. And you remember what happened? God struck Nabal dead. And David ended up marrying Abigail. There it is. You know, if God wanted David to have Bathsheba, he could have handled that himself. That's what I'm getting to. He took care of Nabal and sent Abigail to be David's wife. But right here, David committed sin and that to have Bathsheba. And so not only that, when she ended up with child, he ends up having Joab, have Uriah the Hittite, which was one of David's valiant men, by the way. He's listed over there as one of David's valiant men. Man that loved the king. Boy, you talking about getting stabbed in the back? Think about that for just a second. This man loved the king and was willing to fight for the king, and the king betrayed him. Ain't that sad? So God sends his man down there, Nathan. Tells David a little story about a man that had one little ewe lamb. Poor man. And said there was a traveling man come through, and a rich man took the poor man's one little ewe lamb and fed it to the traveling man, even though the rich man had all that he could stand. He still took the one poor man's little ewe lamb. And boy, David got mad. And David said, this man's going to die, but before he dies, he's going to restore fourfold. Verse 7, Nathan said, thou art the man. And he said, wherefore, in verse 9, hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. You know, if you go over and you look at what Absalom done, Absalom fulfilled this verse right here. Absalom ran him off the throne and done exactly what that verse said. Verse 12, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. There's the mercy. David was worthy to die right there. David had had Joab commit murder for no reason. And he had took Bathsheba to be his own wife that wasn't even his to take. But yet in all that, God still had mercy. Now David had to bear out the judgment. I mean, the baby dies. I mean, his kids end up killing one another, and I mean, it's just a mess for a long time that David went through. But in all that, God's mercy was still there. Stay with me. I'm about to close. In the book of Lamentations, when God is, I mean, when the Chaldean army has about obliterated the city of Jerusalem, you know what Jeremiah the prophet says? It's by thy mercies we are not consumed. I mean, they're starving to death, and Jeremiah's saying, Lord, it's by thy mercies we're not consumed. Those that's going to make it, it's going to make it because of your mercy. You go over and you look in 2 Samuel chapter 24, and you know what you'll find? Another time when David numbered Israel, when he wasn't supposed to number Israel, and as soon as he done it, the Bible said it smote his heart that he done it. And Gad, his seer, come to him, the prophet come to him, and said, the Lord's going to give you three things. Do you want to fall into the hand of your enemies? Do you want to have a famine for 7 years? Do you want to be at your enemies for a time? Or do you want to have a pestilence? And you know what David said? Let me fall into the hand of the Lord, because his mercies are great. Still cost him 70,000 men at the mercy of God. But in his mercy, he strengthens us. And it's in his mercy that he keeps us. But it's in his truth that we stand on and that we are rooted in. His mercy and his truth, they run together. I had never realized till I sat down to study this message that they run together. God's mercy and God's truth is what you need in your life today. Let's bow our heads today.